In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
I want to begin today by drawing our attention to the sacredness of spit. And no, I have not lost my mind. Remembering the sacredness of something as primal as spit might just help us remember the deeper holiness of all of creation, even those things that may not jump out to us as holy. Now, spit, of course, has its primary biological purposes of being the beginning of digestion, keeping the mouth moist, reducing bacteria as a first line of defense, all good things. But I'd like to look beyond spit's biological functions to its sacredness, Now, first, like any sacred gift, spit can be misused. Generally, in cultures all over the world, spit outside the mouth is considered gross, rude, and possibly terribly insulting. To spit on something or someone is the height of insult. All over the world, that's really bad. But does the misuse of a gift erase the goodness of the gift itself? Today in our gospel reading, Jesus encounters a man born blind and elects to heal him. Now, Jesus, as we know, can heal in any way he chooses. And here, Jesus chooses what? Jesus chooses to heal with spit. It says Jesus spat on the ground to make a bit of clay and then put it on the man's eyes and had him wash, and immediately the man's sight is restored. Jesus could have chosen to heal the man by whatever means he wanted, and Jesus chose spit. And that's not the only time. In Mark's gospel, Jesus encounters a man who has a speech impediment. And it says Jesus spit on his own finger, touches the man's tongue with the spit, and immediately the man could speak clearly. So apparently spit outside the mouth is not always an insult. And how many times have you seen a mom, you know, spit on her thumb and do one of those to a little kid's face in order to get it cleaned up? I mean, even kissing an owie is the covert application of spit. And we pinch our finger in a hinge, and without thinking, fingers in the mouth, right? We have that cleansing and healing property of spit. Well, I've got even one more example that gets a little more interesting, because also in Mark's gospel, when you get to the 8th chapter, Jesus encounters a different blind man, not the one from today's gospel, but a different blind man. And here, Jesus doesn't use his fingers, which might seem more gentle. He doesn't make some clay. In the 8th chapter of Mark, when Jesus heals a blind man, it says Jesus just outright spits in the man's eyes. Poo. Just spits. And of course, the man is healed. He receives his sight. Nobody ever talks about that little passage in Mark, but it's there. And we're getting this strange intersection between spit as a sacred cleansing and healing, crossed against what would be very, very culturally insulting, to spit directly on someone and in their face, no less. Well, I promised you that I hadn't lost my mind, so where am I going with all of this? Well, today, of course, we're celebrating the baptism of Shania and the completion, as it were, of the baptism of Nick through chrismation. This participation in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the sealing of the Holy Spirit as a gift within each of you. And how did we start this grand mystery today? We started in the back of the church, and our first order of business in the mystery of baptism was to spit. We begin with a rejection of Satan, a rejection of darkness, of self-pride, of accusation, of shame, of isolation, of fear, of all the destructive ways that we are deceived by the devil. And we don't just renounce Satan and all his works with thoughts or words only. We also get physical. We use breath. We use touch through the laying on of hands, and we use spit. We quite literally spit on the devil. And so maybe the question arises, is this spitting on the devil, is this a really bad insult that I mentioned earlier? Or is it the sacred cleansing and healing power of Jesus Christ? Well, if you've been in the church long enough, you know that's a trick question. It's option C. It's almost always option C. Spitting on Satan and all it stands for is absolutely and fully a renunciation and a rejection. Make no mistake about that. But we don't renounce Satan with hatred. We don't return evil with evil. We renounce Satan with a gift of God. With the gift of spit that was created for cleansing and healing and protection and nourishment is used as our renunciation. A spitting on Satan is an absolute rejection and an offering of healing. An offering Satan will not accept, of course, but it's an offering nonetheless. And it forms this strange paradox, this mysterious intersection of both mercy and rejection at the same time. And if we continue from that moment, we notice that it's not just the substance of spit that's being put to use in this mystery. We also breathe on Satan as part of our renunciation. We breathe on Satan as a way of saying no. And yet we also breathe on the people being baptized and chrismated. We also breathed on the oil as it was being blessed. We also breathed on the baptismal water itself. And Jesus breathed on his disciples the gift of the Holy Spirit shortly after his resurrection that first night. And so like spit, breath is a substance full of grace that is used both to renounce evil and to give life. Because that's truly one and the same thing. To renounce evil is life, and to give life is to renounce evil. And here again, we don't renounce evil with evil, but with something deeply good. An offer of the Spirit of God. An offer of the breath, the very breath of Jesus Christ. We have the substance oil, gifted to seal both Nick and Shania with the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's first presented as preparation for burial in that pre-baptism anointing, an image of the grave. And then finally, of course, the water itself. It's not only the cleansing power of the resurrection, but first that water is death. It is first the participation in the death of Jesus Christ. Before you can have resurrection from the dead, you have to have dead. Death precedes resurrection. And even the Eucharist, that great mystery of taking something so basic as bread and wine, our natural foodstuffs, becoming our partaking of the divine nature, that life-giving mystery is first a body broken, a blood spilled. It's not just a field of daisies. There is a hard reality in all these substances that's being revealed. And what we're saying is, all this grace, all this love, all this mercy that the two of you are receiving, all this partaking of the divine nature is not limited to our thoughts, is not limited to the cerebral and the mental realm. It's not just ascribing to theological concepts and hoping I get it right. You know, God forbid we limit life to the intellect. This is way deeper. Today is way deeper than just thought. We are also physical and temporal beings, and our partake into the divine nature has a deeply physical component. And this physical component encompasses both our glories and our pains, because that's part of life. It encompasses both our life and our death. It encompasses both our brokenness and our redemption, and both our highest ideals and the most basic substances of the body and of creation itself. A baptism, chrismation, Eucharist, these mysteries of God would be meaningless if they stood above the fray, if they stood above the struggle, trying to stay pristine. What makes them potent, what makes them true mysteries of God, which makes them gifts, is the fact that they enter the struggle and are willing to get bloody, are willing to get our human dirt, as it will, on them, and then participate in the fray and emerge victorious. The point of the mysteries of God is that first they descend to us, before they bring us into ascension with them. These mysteries stand quite comfortably at the intersection of brokenness and healing, of honor and dishonor, of darkness and light, of death and life, because this is the intersection of redemption. This is where we live in this world, and this is the reality of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And as if to drive that point home, the whole liturgy surrounding this mystery begins with spit. Begins with that substance of healing and cleansing and mercy on the one hand, and also renunciation, rejection, and insult on the other. A very strange and difficult intersection in which to stand comfortably. And yet that's where the church has us begin. Because it just might help us remember the holiness of all creation if we begin by remembering the sacredness of something as primal as spit. Amen.